Mr. Ellis, we have discussed it on numerous occasions.
I can't tell you precisely right now.
That you can link up with him and he can do the program.
He's traveling today.
Oh, he's traveling today. All right, Mr. Ellis. So you don't have no idea?
No, I can't be any more precise at the moment.
Okay, but he will definitely be back.
Of course. Hopefully.
Right. But you see that the head time that we need the resident political analyst, that we ain't getting him. And the head time that we should be getting polls now left, right, and center, we can't get any. Anyhow, we never deal with that.
Because you won't pay for any.
But I ask.
Well, those that you pay for, you keep close to your chest.
No, I asked him to give me an idea of the price so that I could get together the financing. And he don't want to give me, so I don't know why.
But somebody went and did a private poll in St. John. You could do one.
But do one down there
in Straker's Tenantry.
I ain't going to do none in Straker's Tenantry. Straker's Tenantry is a foregone conclusion.
Boy, I hear better cocks than you crow already.
But that is true. That is true. Some crow from Pandipalin and some crow from other places.
But crow they did. And they were wrong.
Well, you know who was wrong and who was right. Even with two polls that are wrong, are you only going to be one? And Straker's Tenantry is a foregone conclusion.
I hear you.
Yeah. Now, Ms. Ellis, last week, when we started, you know, normally give you a report on the meetings, but somehow we didn't get to that. But last Sunday, last week, we opened up a batch house there and, at the corner of Roseview, Mile and a Quarter. And lo and behold,
that's the place that the Prime Minister said take the money? It was at that meeting the Prime Minister tell the people take the money?
Lo and behold, Mr. Ellis, it was the opening of a batch office and it was compared to a mass meeting.
Is that the same meeting where the Prime Minister told Barbadians if money sharing out take it over the election period?
Mr. Ellis, why are you speaking on it already? So don't come asking me.
I haven't spoken about that, really.
Yes,
I was just seeking to confirm that that is the same meeting, right?
Yes, that is the same meeting.
You thought that was appropriate, though?
If I thought that it was appropriate?
Yes.
It speaks for itself. You ain't going to get my opinion on it.
Your opinion. Because you come here with opinions on other things. I want to hear from you whether you thought that that was appropriate
for him
as Prime Minister to say that.
Mr. Ellis, I just give my opinion where I feel I should give my opinion. You're all done discussing
it. That is the equivalent of no comment. When you hear no comment, you realize, that it can't be defended, so you keep your mouth shut.
No, there's nothing to defend, Mr. Ellis. There's nothing to defend because he specifically said, do not do anything illegal.
Well, if you take money during an election campaign, then illegal?
No. Remember that last election, 11 o'clock in Deacon's Road, somebody take some in a brown paper bag and don't know whether it was a loan or a gift. So let me leave that there, Mr.
But
Ellis.
Even if it happened at that time, it would have been in the same category.
Mr. Ellis, let me leave that
there. I don't understand this.
Let me leave that there. I know he said don't do anything illegal.
You can't defend this, though. That's why you are saying no comment.
No, I'm not saying no comment. I said he still clearly don't do anything illegal.
Well, and I have said to you that if you take money during an election campaign, in those circumstances, it is considered by the country to be an illegal act.
So it seems as though you're
talking through both sides of your mouth if you say that.
No, Mr. Ellis. It's either illegal or it's illegal. It can't be considered. It's either legal or illegal.
It is considered to be illegal to take money in an election campaign.
It can't be considered, Mr.
Ellis. If you take money for a vote in an election campaign, it is considered to be, and that is the one interpretation. Let's say that there could be more than one interpretation based on the way he put it. But one interpretation is that you're saying to people that in an election campaign, if they're giving away money, and it's saying that implies money for votes, then take the money.
No, Mr. Ellis. You see, even that tying up you, either legal or illegal. A gift is not illegal. Anyhow, we can leave that there, Mr. Ellis, because you got your opinion on it. I got my back. I know when they're done discussing it already.
Okay.
So we can leave that there.
Yes.
No. On Thursday, I had a chat with Miss Gill, because I'm not getting you and I'm not getting Vicar. I had a chat with her. And apparently, Miss Vinnie come, and I tried to listen back to it tonight, because I didn't listen to it today on Friday. But basically, she was saying that I was speaking hogwash, and I don't know anything about the BLP, and I left the BLP and all kinds of things. One thing I state clearly, you know, half of my family's B's and half is D's. That is the makeup of Barbados, right? Now, my grandfather, and you know Grant Lee was seen as the, or rather Sir Grant Lee, was seen as the Black Moses. So my grandfather was in there with him, and he family started out with the B's. But when Errol Barrow split with the B's, my mother asked him, if you vote for anybody, if anybody would know, and foolishly said no, and she went with Errol Barrow. That's how we get on the B's. So knowing about the B's, I know more about the B's than Winnie. She left and resided over here, and she came and joined the party of choice. She left with chips on her shoulder, and I have held out the olive blossom to them and told them to come down back. So I know about it. So we can leave that there too, right? They can't tell you about the bees. I know about all two sides. Mr. Ellis, as I born and raised up in Black Rock, there's from Lands End right down to Backtrop. I know a backward. The public beach is defined by what, Mr. Ellis?
High water mark.
High water mark. You got it. You hit the nail straight on the head. So there's some place between the high water mark and the beach for somebody to put chairs.
Forgive me. I was just taken out here by a picture that somebody sent me.
No, Mr. Ellis, you see that the problem is gone.
Sorry. The picture is this. They claim that this is the picture of the branch meeting that you were talking about. They got 50 people in this picture.
Mr. Ellis,
standing room only.
Mr. Ellis, I told you. I never said. You know, we didn't even get a chance to discuss it. I only told you that it was compared to a mass meeting. You know.
But I knew it again. Okay. Anyhow, you were saying, proceed.
No, I asked you, the public beach.
So what's the problem? You're talking about this thing that when he was raising about the beach, the chairs on the beach and stuff like that?
Yes, Mr. Ellis. So all I'm asking you now.
So what's the thrust of where you're going?
Between the high water mark and the sea, would some person have to put chairs?
Where exactly is this?
What?
Where exactly is this?
Where exactly is what, Mr. Ellis?
This particular area that she's concerned about, that she was raising.
She was raising the same thing up by the crane, Mr. Ellis. But the beach wherever it is. And all beaches, the public beach is defined by the high water mark. So beyond the high water mark would be either still public or it could be private. But the beach, the access to the beach, is determined by high water mark. Between the high water mark and the sea, there's no place to put chairs.
I think the real issue here, sir, is this. Look, you have two individuals who are, they have a conflict going on between them, a matter that's before the courts. And in all of this, you have the government of Barbados and the National Conservation Commission. So it is reasonable for people to ask the question, and what is the role of government in trying to deal with protecting the interests of all concerned? To what extent is the matter before the court tying the hands of anybody in trying to intervene on behalf of the vendors or on behalf of the property owners? But one does not expect that you would have a situation like that where it seems as though nobody is there to come into the middle of it. I saw this that picture over the weekend with the beaches on the crane, and this whole thing about high watermark and all of that. Look, all these blue chairs that you are seeing stretching from one end to the next does not suggest that there's any problem in finding space for people to luxuriate on the beach at the crane. I don't know where you're going with this thing about high watermark and all of that.
Have you seen
the picture that was circulated over the weekend?
Mr. Ellis, all I'm saying, Mr. Ellis, between the high watermark and the water...
There's no space to put in the chairs.
It's public.
Right.
The high watermark and inland will have to belong to somebody, either the private landowners or the state. So that is easy to determine who it belongs to.
So why is it that there is no arm of government that is speaking to this issue at all?
I don't know neither.
You don't know, but you're in an environment where you should know more than anybody else.
But that is true, Mr. Ellis.
So why are they treating you so badly?
No, it isn't me. I just tell you and the rest all the time, the operatives in there is who is to make the decisions. NCC...
Who takes the ultimate blow? The politician takes the blow. And therefore, in so many areas, they say the legislation must be framed in such a way that the politician must have the final say. Well, if you must have the final say, you have the final responsibility to protect the public of Barbados.
Mr. Ellis, listen to me, Mr.
So why are you passing the buck to somebody else now?
I just never passed the buck.
But you are.
When they had the problem with the water wars, and they wanted the minister head, I called for the operatives and there, the engineers and the managers to speak. Mr. Lindor, come out and speak. And a calmness come over this
country. But you're doing the same thing with the sewage project.
And I'm calling out for the operatives.
Same thing with the sewage project.
NCC responsible for the beachfront, and they will be responsible for the public section. The private will belong to private. It's easy to determine whether the land is private or is public. If it's the Queen land...
I'm not interested in this notion that it is easy to determine. You are a member of the public. I don't know that you sit on the board of the NCC or wherever. What you should be doing is making a call for the NCC to clarify the status of the vendors. That's what is required. Don't tell me that it's easy. If it is as easy as that, then they should be coming to the public and saying what the position is.
Mr. Ellis, 4 years.
But it's political season, so I don't know. No. For what one reason or the other, they may be reluctant to speak.
Mr. Ellis, you know, 4 years from Donny Fowler Hatch time, we have been fighting for windows to the sea. You know why you fight for windows to the sea? Because the beachfront belongs to the property owner.
So what are you saying? So as far as you are concerned in this particular matter, who is right and who is wrong?
I don't know because I don't know who the land belongs to.
Let's not proceed any further then.
If it's public land, then the beachfront
is public. We can go no further. You are just like most of us. You're ignorant of what's going on.
No, Mr. Ellis. I born and raised up down here by Pilebay, Paradise, set up down here. You remember when...
What that got to do with the cream?
You still got skiing. You know when there was skiing before there was jet skis? And the people used to go stand up on the beach and the speedboats pulled them off, hindering me from walking past there. You know, Mr. Ellis, when it's free that these things don't come in, you know.
All right.
I live through all of it. The point is that determine if it is public beach or public land, then the beach access will be public. If it ain't, then look for some place and put the vendors.
We're gonna move on.
But don't move yet, Mr. Ellis. I got a couple of people here.
No, not today. We got a lot of people lined up here to speak, and you have chosen your two topics. So let's move on. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am.
I admire your patience.
Thank you.
And have the greatest respect for your fairness as a moderator and your honesty.
All right. No, you pee-pee from here.
I couldn't do your job.
You pee-pee from here now, boy. Thank you very much, but I know what's coming next.
Listen, I could not do your job. I don't have that. I got the high level of tolerance.
Yes, speak. I'm listening.
God has chosen you for this job.
Thank you very much.
What I want to say is I heard the Prime Minister on air. I think he's at one of the meetings in St. Peter, Spice Town. And I heard him made a statement. He said that he is the sleeping giant that has now been awakened, and he's ready now to go to whatever, war or whatever, but he's coming, he's now awakened and he's ready for battle, and that there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and who don't have teeth, if they have gums, they'll be weeping and gnashing of gums. But what I want to say is that I beg my Prime Minister, but not my Prime Minister, Mr. Prime Minister, I want to remind him that he was not voted in from the beginning as the Prime Minister. That he was put there because the past Prime Minister, he died. The guy that was voted in.
No, he was voted in. In 2013, he would have been voted in.
The second time. Okay, whatever. And the first 5 years when he was placed there after Mr. Thompson died, and I mean, the first 5 years I did not see it as anything fantastic that he did, but the people put him back. They gave him a second chance. I am one of those people. And I totally agree with the last woman that said, she have no time with BLP or DLP, and I'm like that too. I am not a Barbadian. I am a born Guyanese. I've been living here 42 years. I have Barbadian children that contribute to this nation, that work hard. And I have worked hard in this nation. And I've paid my dues in this nation. And I have a right to look on and listen to what's happening. And what I would like to say to the Prime Minister is that he needs to respect his people. And it seems as though he has this powerful attitude where he thinks that he can say anything and probably do anything. But, you know, he said that he's awakened from sleep, and he was a sleeping giant, whatever he was trying to refer to, and now he's awakened. But, you know, sometimes that I hope the next time that he goes to sleep, he don't go to sleep forever, because he don't have any power. We have a God that's in control, and when you think that you can be bigger than God and you want to...
Well, I ain't saying here nothing from the Prime Minister to suggest that he's bigger than God. He sees himself as a sleeping political giant, and in due course, we will see whether he has been able to do again what he did in 2013 with the help of people on various sides of the political fence. He was able to pull it off, and we'll see. We'll just wait and see. We're going to the Starcom Network News next. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, David. How are you doing?
I'm well.
I want to continue a conversation which we were having yesterday on Brass Tacks, on Brass Tacks Sunday, and also to connect it with the conversation of the People's on the People's Parliament last Tuesday, which is about crime and corruption. Now, time ran out yesterday in terms of my contribution, so let me first start by saying something which I hope Mr. Williams is listening to. I want to congratulate Mr. Williams on his continuous, and Williams Industries, on their continuous sponsorship of Brass Tacks. And from my perspective, this is one of the only programs that we have in Barbados that attempts to bring discussion of events of what is going on to the people, and in one in which the people can freely interact and give their views and opinions. So this here, to me, this is the true reflection of how you get people involved in what is going on in your country. Now, of course, Brass Tacks isn't perfect, because a lot of decisions you all make are guided by the requirement for advertising revenue and certain limitations and that sort of thing. So therefore, it continues in the point which I was trying to make yesterday, when the moderator asked me, well, what do I see as the solution to some of the things that are going on in Barbados? And my answer is more discussion. It is about transparency. bringing transparency to issues, ventilation of issues in this country, and the lifting up of the carpet, as it were, to see what the rot is, that is the dirt that is there underneath. Because that's the only thing you can do. You have to lift it up, and then you have to sweep it clean. And what happens is that all the corruption that happens in the Barbados, from my perspective and my opinion, happens because there is this secrecy. There's this lack of transparency.
Oh, please, come, let's get down to something more specific then. I mean, this is very general. This is very general stuff that we have gone over and over and over again. So let us look at the fact that we are on the cusp of general elections, that we got people out there who are presenting themselves to the public. Let's get down to what specifically would you want to see changed now so that we can get away from that kind of environment.
But this is where I tried to tell you, where I was trying to link the conversation of yesterday with the conversation of Tuesday, okay? And what happens when the political representatives come to the program? And again, what the gentleman said in the opening remarks this morning, when he was dissatisfied with certain aspects of what happened, I believe Barbados' biggest problem is an intellectual corruption that goes on. We have people who deliberately avoid the questions that are being put to them for whatever reason. And that is what happened on Tuesday. Because when people talk to me,
what specifically happened on
being
Tuesday?
Specific, just a second. I'm telling you, okay? The conversation, when asked about corruption and crime, devolved into a conversation about the boys on the block, about education.
That's escapism. You know full well that if a politician believes that he has done an exceptionally good job when he has not answered a question but has taken it in a direction where he gives the impression that he's answering it. The stock response to everything that people raise in relation to corruption would be bring the evidence. That's the stock answer to that. So, you have to go beyond that now.
No. Hold on. There's a
to pin the person
to
down.
Let me respond to that there, okay? Because as far as I know, when somebody breaks in your house and you call the police are the ones who gather the evidence, okay? So, therefore, we have a situation where we know that people have broken into our house through the report from the Auditor General. And the challenge now is for the police to do the investigation. So you're trying to ask me to bring evidence to you. Right? Makes no sense at all. Because it's not my responsibility to bring evidence to you. So therefore, when you try to divert the attention from the fact that you are not doing that, there's corruption.
Look,
and to ask me that sort of question is my problem. And I'm not even dealing with
it. Hold on a minute. Let's not waste a lot of time on this, because really and truly we could I didn't say just you. I could also end up wasting time on it as well.
Okay, no problem.
Look, we have had some matters that have been raised by the Auditor General over time in this administration and in previous administrations. So we have enough before us right now to say, look, there are some consistent trends here, and on the basis of those consistent trends, these are the steps that Barbados needs to take to avoid this. Full stop. Rather than getting involved in that general discussion about there is corruption, we recognize that there is room for corruption, even if in some instances we may be wrong in our assessment, because, you know, prior to every general election in recent times, I mean, I've been wrong and listening to general election campaigns since the 70s. And just before, there's always talk of corruption. After the elections, not a soul is held accountable. And they will set up commissions of inquiry, put money in the hands of lawyers, their friends, and at the end of it all, they are the biggest beneficiaries of that whole process, and the people are left no better off. So let's get down to the specifics of what we would want to change, based upon what the Auditor General has said. We've had special audits as well. We've had, you know, we can be specific.
David, but this is the problem, okay? Because I hear specification coming from all different sectors of the society, okay? So therefore, when, like yesterday, we heard a lot of specifics. The challenge that I asked the question, well, if we have all this expertise and we have all this of these people who obviously have the knowledge, why has it not changed? So therefore, when you talk about dealing with things, it's not dealing with it.
So why has it not changed?
So because there are people in positions of power who maintain the status.
How are you going to fix that?
Because it benefits them.
How are you going to fix that?
But this is the thing. I started by telling you. In order to fix that, we need to have more discussion. I said yesterday.
More discussion?
Of course, more ventilation of issues.
Oh.
Okay? We have had the statement from Ms. Motley that yes, we want to, and other political parties, that they want to get the people more involved. And I have said, but okay, that is admirable. But in order to do that now, step one would have to be making the facilities available that allow everybody to come at specific times in order to make their contribution. It would have to mean getting a transportation system that allows people to come to those venues at all and get out of those venues. Because it doesn't make sense you having, let's say, calling a town hall meeting at 6 o'clock at night at Queen's Park. And then the only people that can come are people who have cars. You then deny a whole sector of your population from being able to be involved in these discussions.
All right, we got to go.
The limitation.
We got to go. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Yeah, before I got 3 points, but before I get to those 3 points, listen to the gentleman just now that I just called Regime Change. He mentioned something you say about when the opposition, this talk about corruption, and this, I went to get it for this, got inquiries, and nothing comes out of it. I heard that right?
Yeah, that happened last time.
Can you name
the time before that?
I know, but you see, I like the balance. Can you call a time in history that the Democrat Labour Party ever had an inquiry after election?
The Democrat Labour Party?
Yeah.
After
in all of my life, I only know the Democrat Labour Party having one inquiry, and that is the one with my friend, Mr. Booms. You know about any political inquiry done by the Democrat Labour Party?
I think the first of the commissions of inquiry that we had since our political independence, that was conducted under the Democratic Labour Party in the National Housing Corporation. It wasn't then, it was called, it wasn't the National Housing Corporation
did
at
that
the time.
Inquiry
this was the Hanschel Commission.
The Hanschel Commission. Listen, there's two different things altogether. Now
oh
listen
my
to what
goodness,
I'm saying.
What are you
listen
coming
to me a minute.
Where are you going,
listen to me. How many lawyers was the employee in
I
that
I don't
Hanschel?
Know, man. What kind of question
listen,
is
what I'm saying is, I like people to explain things to the public.
You like to come and confuse issues, as you like to do.
No, Mister. You get.
Where are you going? Where are you going with this?
Listen,
honestly.
Let me explain something. You call. I find out something. I had that to say last, but I can say it now. Before you get back to where he was, I want you sometime when you get a chance between now and Friday, listen back to the gentleman just finished, who is called Eugene Change, Straker Stenetry. The gentleman they call the statsman, and a gentleman who was called, I don't know which party you really belong to, but his poor man near Scandalary. I want you to listen to those four calls and listen to how you conduct your conversation with those four calls.
As opposed to you?
That's what I'm saying now. I hope...
Man, you have had such a run with me over time that I even get people believing, saying that you are essentially insulting at times. That's how they project you
is
at times.
Insulting you
yeah.
or myself?
Me. But you know, but the point is, I give you.
Hold on a minute.
Don't get carried away on that. The main point I'm trying to make to you is that over time, I believe that you have had a freer hand, an easier run with me than some of the very people that you have mentioned. So don't say that.
No, but that ain't what I meant, you know. Now, Mr. Ellis, don't try to get in my head of what I'm thinking. I am saying that I want you to treat that gentleman as Shrekus Tenetry. Because one thing you and Shrekus Tenetry got some beautiful conversations, and I just sit down here and listen to you and him. Now it seems like arguments. That, you want me to tell you that's what I mean? Because if the Prime Minister in St. Peter's say, if the politicians bring money to the them, and the gentleman said to you, look, I ain't deal with that, I don't. Let me finish with it. Why trying to force him to say something?
Well, look, let me say something to you. Last week, on Friday when I was here,
yeah,
the president of the National Union of Public Workers called us.
Yeah.
Some people thought that I interrogated him.
The
fact of the matter is, it all depends. That's your opinion.
Other people felt differently.
Okay? All I'm saying to you is that it all depends upon sometimes which side you better wake up on a given morning. It depends upon what you say to me. The extent to which I believe I need to pursue you, and it does not matter whether you are in government, out of government, as long as you come to me with a position that I believe it is reasonable to pursue it, I will pursue it in the interest of the public who are listening.
Okay, Ms. Ellis, yesterday I attended a meeting, a branch meeting, at Lawrence D. Gear, and about five people came up to me and said, "Man, I love to hear you and David Ellis. I don't know who tell you that. I just embarrassed you or not because I don't know what they're listening to."
But what I'm saying is,
I find out just now with those two persons that is David Ellis. So I want you to listen back to it to find out that is you.
No, I hear you then.
If you understand where you're going.
I heard you. Let's move on.
Okay, but let me get to my point now. Because whenever I call and I bring up an issue, you just talk and stretch it. And then it looked like I was on half an hour when I only on 10 minutes. But let me explain to you where I'm here. Well, one, there's three little ones. On Friday, I told you I would like to learn if my friends, after Saturday, I was outside in front of mine with a group of them complaining, that they hear me on the radio saying that the union refused, that they may got $1,100 in the pocket. And they want to know where you get it from. You had Mr. Beckles, and as I had to leave to go to the lecture, I had to leave and listen. You had both of them on. Why you didn't ask them if it's true or not? Why you didn't ask them if it's true that the government offered 45 to 49 million dollars that would have helped all the people who complaining, all the Mr. Bays and all that complaining, that money would have circulated in the country. Why you didn't ask them why they refused it? Ellis?
Mr. Beckles came on the air to refute exactly what you were saying, and he did.
No, he didn't.
Well, as far as I recall...
What he said was...
There was no need for me to ask the question when he was coming on the air to refute what you said?
No, Mr. Ellis. If a gentleman... I raise it. What he said, I believe, should be final. But he only extended... Because the impression that...
Well, you don't answer this question. You see, let me say something to you. One of the techniques that I have learned over the years is that when a person isn't there to defend themselves and somebody else is attacking them, my strategy often is to put the person who is on the attack on the defensive because the person they're criticizing isn't there. So in that context, therefore... Why don't you address this question?
Oh, Lord.
How does the government justify not being able to, issuing the statement that they issued last week with respect to salaries, that they could not give in to the kind of demands that were coming from the public servants? But ministers of government can, in this 90-day period, be getting two or even three paydays in an environment where the government itself has been talking about how difficult it is to run this country because of the financial situation. How can that be justified in your judgment? Respond to that.
No, Mr. Ellis, I can answer that. You know I can answer. No, people will say, no, man, you'd be on the half on this. You see that whole you and I be on loan now? Because every time you're like, you're going to bring it. I didn't deal with that period, but I will answer you with that now.
I'm listening.
If it wasn't this cabinet that doing it now, it'd be still running, or it'd be another cabinet. The impression I get from you from last week, that the taxpayers of this country is paying some people who's in the jacuzzi cooling off or in the pool. They are working, Mr. Ellis. They're not sitting down doing nothing. I've asked you many times, you don't answer. But last Friday, I hear you even
know. As far as we are concerned, we have nothing before us to tell us who's working and who is not.
Wait, a couple of
utterances that are coming from one or two people does not guarantee me that they are really working.
Who says
they're not using the time to feather their political nests by looking at? Who says that they could not be using this time to, as part of the whole process of political campaigning? I don't know.
On what
basis have you come to the conclusion that they
if
are...
How you come to a conclusion?
Well, you see, what I'm putting before you is
the
fact...
I am asking you a simple question. How you know that these fellas ain't out there?
Because I am not seeing the evidence of it right now.
On your own radio.
What's the evidence?
You don't hear Donville Innes just now addressing, still at work?
Donville Innes is one of how many ministers?
You want me to call
How about these parliamentary secretaries and stuff? I do not have, based on what is fed to us as members of the public, I cannot sit down here and say to you, while on the one hand you can say it is possible that they're working, I can say on the basis of the evidence that it is quite possible that most of them ain't working neither.
Okay, Ms. Ellis, I agree with you.
But the critical point is, the critical question I put to you is, justify the situation where you can't pay money to the public servants. You got back your 10%. You got back your 10%. But in addition to that, you stretch yourself into this 90-day period where you will end up with three paydays.
Mr. Ellis did the same thing that I want to settle Friday. And you refuse to settle it, that your argument can continue.
Tell me.
The argument that you are running and a good few people could have been settled on Friday, then we would have known had the government offered them the money and the union refused. Then you would be able to come on the radio and say the government would give them nothing. If you'd have asked one or two of them, had they moved the 45 to 49 to 60.
The man rejected your statement.
No, he didn't. He didn't reject it.
Anyhow,
what he said.
You sizing up for the man to call you again, that's all.
No, what he said, that they moved from the 45 to 60. But why I call you about that yesterday? No, you know why I
call
you?
Not yesterday. You didn't call me yesterday because it wasn't Friday. Yesterday.
You know why I call you about it?
Well, I
heard the president of the union say that they were offered 49 million. And it was from 11 at the bottom to 2900 at the top. And they're saying, no, they want 25 across the board. I heard that from the president. So all of these
upshot of it all is that they didn't get
you didn't
even
hear that.
Half of what they were pressing for. At the end of the day, others did.
Ellis, they could have taken the 45 or 49 million because that had nothing to do with the negotiation with the labor, with what they were fighting for the wage increases. This was separate money given to them without interfering. This is what I was told by the president, you know, on the radio. I heard him with that on the radio. That the money, but they wanted $2,500 across the board. Let me get off quick. Miss Ellis, there was an accident yesterday where, unfortunately, a lady lost her life.
Yeah.
You get any news yet as the lady opposition got 8 or 9 lawyers going to Russia to help them too?
I suppose everything depends upon the circumstances.